I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Amen. Amen.
Let's remain standing for prayer, and as we look to the Lord this morning to ask God's blessings upon our service, upon the preaching of his word today, the Holy Spirit's power upon Brother Langley as he breaks the bread of life to us. What a wonderful privilege it is to meet here with the Lord. He's with us today. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So as we bow our heads to look to him in prayer, Brother Raul, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And it's wonderful to see you today in the house of the Lord. I see a couple of visitors that we have with us today that are not normally with us on Sunday morning. And they've driven a long way down here to be in our revival. And the rest of you all look familiar. I expected to see a whole bunch of visitors in here today as a result of our work and invitations that have gone out during this past week. I don't know how many people you invited, but I'll tell you what, if all the people that I invited had come today, we would at least have one of these sides all filled up. And, of course, they didn't promise to come, but they were invited anyway. Just like the gospel invitation goes out. God invites all people to come. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But you got a lot of people out here that are laboring and heavy laden that have no rest because they won't come to the Lord. But anyway, let's make a concentrated effort this week to bring people into the house of God. I think that you'll have some boasting that you can do about the preaching, I think. Amen. You've heard Brother Langley before, and he's been sharpening the knife all week long. 2 weeks. Probably more than that. And anyway, we're glad to have him and his family. Pray for his wife. She's got one of these splitting headaches. Any of you have a migraine? You know what those are? They're pretty rough. So pray for her, and we miss her today too. But we're glad that you're here, and let's go ahead and see if we can have a little Bible reading this morning. I don't want anybody to get up here and read the 119th Psalm, but come up here and share a verse of Scripture with us, and then we'll go ahead with our service. Who's reading this morning? All right. This guy knows his Bible. He always picks out some good Scriptures.
Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It is a grand privilege to have the Word of God available to us. Again, not always true for the rest of the world. This morning, let's read from the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. May the reading of the of his word be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. I think we have a men's chorus.
Thank you.
Amen. Turn over to, I think it's 379. We're going to sing 379. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call. Follow His leading and give Him my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as a part of my cross. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem. Bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Amen. If you'd all rise for our offertory hymn, we're going to sing number 633. 633. There's a place in my heart that the world never gave, a peace it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a crowd, I've a peace there has come there to stay. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. All the world seemed to sing of a Savior and King, when peace sweetly came to my heart. Troubles all fled away, and my night turned to day. Blessed Jesus, how glorious thou art. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. This treasure I have in a temple of clay, while here on his footstool I roam. But he's coming to take me some glorious day over there to my heavenly home. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers oh so kind, I will never leave thee, Jesus is mine. Amen.
Brother Pat, would you lead our prayer, please? Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have another special here. This is called the Langley Trio. All right? Come. Brother Johnny, you got a song this morning? All right, get it ready. Wonderful. Brother Johnny, come on up here. we're going to have some more of that, hopefully, during this week. Are you going to sing too? Wonderful. Okay. Love that good singing. You know, there's going to be lots of singing going on in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, I couldn't begin to tell you how many times it talks about singing and music and such as that. There's going to be an awful lot of it. All right. Brother Johnny is going to sing now, and then we'll have the preaching.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. You know, back in November 24th, 1985, when God saved my soul, He put joy in my heart. And not only did He do that, but He put constantly singing in my heart also. Amen. Amen. And that's why I sing for Him today. I've been singing about my Lord for many years. I sung when I was happy. I sung when I had fear. But there are some folks, they may question if I do it all for show. But the reason that I'm singing, I want the world to know that I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. I sing because it's great. Is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. Or I sing because someday I'm going home. And there I will sing throughout eternity. Now sing through those walking, through the fiery trial. And I watched as their saddened faces turn into happy smiles. Then I bowed my head and whispered, Lord, please do the same for me. You know, I'm so glad that my Lord has given. He's given me the victory. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there's a power that saves. And I sing because His grace is real to me. I sing because I'm not alone. Yes, I sing because someday I'm going home, and there I will see throughout eternity. Oh, I sing because I'm not alone. Oh yes, I sing because I'm going home, and there I will sing throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. Yes, I will.
Whoa.
Woo. I'm going to sing.
for our evening service tonight, 6:30. Normally we meet on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. If you want to come out at 6 o'clock, I'll be here. But we're not going to really start our services until 6:30. That's because of the sign. We're going by the sign. Be 6:30 each evening too, through Wednesday. And I don't think that Brother Langley needs much introduction. He's been here with us before. He's going to be bringing the message this morning, and God is going to use him as his spokesperson to address the needs of our souls. Brother Langley, thank you. Good to have you down here. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Watson. Appreciate you. I appreciate everybody's prayers over the last few weeks, and it is a privilege to be here, a privilege to open up His Word, and I'm just very grateful for the opportunity. I was thinking, Pastor Wetzel had called me and asked if I would be praying about the possibility of coming down and preaching for y'all for a revival service, it really made me think, you know, what was it that the Lord would have me to preach? What direction was it that the Lord would have me to go? And as all of you know, living in a home or driving a vehicle, the longer we live in that house or the longer that we drive that car, that house, that car begins to deteriorate. There has to be some preventative maintenance that takes place. There has to be a time of restoration. And we can look at those things in the physical sense, but in all actuality, we need that in the spiritual sense as well. When we become born again, when we get saved and the Lord begins to grow us and work in our hearts, we become closer and closer to Him. But let's face it, we live in a world that draws us in the opposite direction that God wants us to go, because we live in this tabernacle of flesh, which has a sin nature. And so there's that natural battle to be led by the flesh and then to be led by the Spirit as well. And so it's very important for us at times to go through what we would call a revival time, a time of restoration. And so I've been praying for weeks now that the Lord would use me, that He would guide me and direct me with the words to speak, to deal with individuals and a church as a whole for His honor and for His glory. And so I'm going to be preaching. So you can take your little ribbon thing and you can slide it right to Jonah, because that's where we're going to be all week, okay? Jonah, and we're going to be looking. Now, this morning's message is just going to be kind of laying the groundwork, if you will, just as if we were building that house, there's got to be a foundation to lay things on. And so this first message, if you will, we're not going to get very far in the book of Jonah, but it's going to be more of an introduction. But I promise you that if you came prepared to hear from God this morning, that He'll speak to you, okay? So Jonah chapter 1 this morning, and once you found your place, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and we're just going to look at the first three verses of chapter 1, and we'll do the background that we have to. But Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of God says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, again, We thank you for the privilege that we have to come before your throne of grace in prayer. I'm grateful that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and gave us direct access to thee. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to gather as believers. And Father, I thank you for the privilege that I have to preach here at this New Testament church, this called out assembly of baptized believers. And so, Father, I pray, as I have been praying for weeks now, that your perfect will would be accomplished during this meeting, during this time. And Father, you knew who was going to be here even before they did. And you knew that they needed to hear this message. And so, Father, I pray again that you would empty me of self and that you would fill me with your Spirit and that your word would be proclaimed, that the Holy Spirit might have his perfect will and way. Father, if there's one here that does not know thee as their Lord and Savior, they do not have a personal relationship with you, Father, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. And Father, you know the condition of each heart here this morning, and you know what needs to take place. And so, Father, we just take this service and we lift it up to you, and we ask that everything that takes place here would be well-pleasing in your sight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'll say this, that the book of Jonah is one of those books that that the critics would use as, we could say, a whipping boy. If there's a miracle that takes place in the Word of God, you can mark it down that there will be critics out there that will attack it, that they will discard it, that they will declare it as untruth. And so in the world's wisdom, if you will, this is one of those books. And the reason is because they have this mentality of, really? A man being swallowed by a great fish and being inside of it for 3 days and then being spit up on the beach, that can't really happen, you know. Just like other things in the very Word of God that are criticized, like the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, just like Jesus Christ's literal death there on the cross of Calvary and being in the tomb for 3 days before rising again. We're talking about all of these things because these are the things that the world, these are the things that so-called Bible critics will discard as truth. But yet, Gabriel, the angel of God, told Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Amen. And I want you to understand that today, that with all things, it doesn't matter what takes place, when God is in it, listen, it is possible. And whether it is the book of Jonah, whether it's the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, or the inerrancy of God's word itself, the book that we hold in our hand, nothing is impossible when it comes to God. And yet Satan himself uses his agents. And listen, I know that that's not a popular theme. It's not a popular thing to say. But let me say this. Satan is real. He is alive today. He is an enemy of God. And if he can have his will, he will. And Satan does use his agents. He uses them in the church. He uses them in our world to bring doubt and to bring false truths. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 25 through 27. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." See, there's a difference between God's children and Satan's children. You know, you could look at all of mankind and you can divide them into two groups. You know, just because you are created by God doesn't mean that you're a child of God. You become a child of God when you are born into the family of God. Amen. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, as Pastor was saying in Sunday school. Ye must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And so therefore, just because a person says that they know God, just because they say that they worship God, we have to remember that there is going to be a day when some will come to Christ and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you, right? Satan continues to attack the very word of God, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God using his children. And the word of God, you know, describes these individuals as goats, as tares, as unbelievers. And Satan mingles lies with truth. He uses men to take away from the word of God here, and he adds to it there. He has used man and man's logic to create what we know as today as critical thinking. You know, if you open up a commentary on a particular portion of Scripture, oftentimes you have to be very careful because they'll say something, well, there's a better translation over here in the NIV, or there's a better translation over here. Listen, all that does, again, is cause nothing but doubt. We have the very Word of God in our possession, and it is the King James Bible. If God, right, can manifest himself in the person of Jesus Christ through a woman, a virgin woman, if Jesus Christ can die on the cross of Calvary and 3 days later rise again, if God can divide the Red Sea, right, so that Moses and the children of Israel can cross over on dry land, if God can do all of those things, don't you think that he can preserve his word for today? Absolutely. Don't you think that God wants to have a personal relationship with you? Don't you think that God wants to speak to you on a daily basis? Don't you think that God wants you to speak to him on a daily basis? Well, how is it that he's going to speak to you? He's going to speak to you through his word. And he doesn't hide himself from us. You know, that's one thing that if you notice in this world, that the NIV and some of these other translations, they're never attacked. The only book that's attacked is the King James Bible. Why is it attacked? Because Satan doesn't like it. Because it is God's very word. Jesus Christ is the word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ himself is described in the very word of God as his word. And we have to remember that this morning. So we have the book of Jonah here, and we have to realize that we don't, you know, God doesn't reveal to us everything in the word of God, but he gives us just what we need. And we have it here this morning. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Psalms 12, verse 16, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Paul told the church there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. We have the very word of God in our midst. And he spoke of this as he was asked by the scribes and the Pharisees there in Jerusalem to show him a sign. He said, basically, I don't need to show you another sign. You had a sign. You had a sign in the person of Jonah. He was in the whale's belly for 3 days and lived again. And just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, I will be in the earth for 3 days. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 and 40. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Listen, if Jesus Christ declares the book of Jonah, if he declares Jonah as literally being in the belly of a whale for 3 days, then listen, Jesus Christ is truth. The very Word of God is truth. And so if I'm reading it in the Word of God, listen, I'm going to count it down as truth. I need to align my life up with the very Word of God. You know, each and every one of us have a choice to make. Either we can believe the Word of God and submit ourselves to it, or we can reject it and go from it. And we see here is the prophet Jonah. He's a prophet. He's a messenger of God. He's a preacher. He is a servant of God. He is a child of God, if you will. He has a personal relationship with God, and we are going to see this through our series. But what we have to understand is the book of Jonah, I pray and hope that it'll be an encouragement to you. It's an encouragement to me when you think of, here's a prophet that is used of God in a great and mighty way. And yet we see where Jonah has backslidden. We see where Jonah has run from God. And yet God doesn't leave Jonah alone. He doesn't discard Jonah. He gives Jonah a second chance. He uses Jonah when Jonah comes to that point in his life where he realizes that he's wrong, and he gets back to the point where God would be able to use him. You know what the book of Jonah is? It's a story of a revival. And I pray that the story here, the truth here in the book of Jonah, will be the very thing that takes place here at Bible Baptist Church here in Chula Vista. I pray that this revival takes place in each and every one of your hearts. Because listen, revival's not going to take place here at Bible Baptist Church until it takes place in your heart, individually. Because the church isn't the building, it's the people. You know, the church is the body of Christ. And if every member of the body is not doing their part, if every member of the body is not restored, if every member of the body is not brought back to that point of usefulness, then the whole body is going to suffer, right? Man, you think about having an ailment. Man, that ailment affects the whole body, does it not? Something as simple as a hangnail, right, affects the whole body. And if there's a hard heart, if there's a backslidden member of the body, guess what takes place? It affects the whole body. And so we need to remember that we need to take this word, this message, personally for the edification of the church. And so we see here that this is a story, or this is an account where the prophet Jonah, how God deals with him because he's a disobedient prophet. The book of Jonah is about how God deals with a disobedient prophet, and as a result, we can learn of God's mercy and faithfulness when it comes to our disobedience as servants of the Lord. This book is and should be an encouragement to all of us. Listen, we don't know a whole lot about Jonah, but we do know some things according to the book of Jonah, as well as according to 2 Kings chapter 14. We know that the prophet Jonah lived during the time of Jeroboam the second, sometime between 824 and 783 BC. That was the time where Elisha was just moving off the scene. And so now we have the prophet Jonah being used of God, not to take Elisha's place, but to be used as Elisha was as well. We know that Jonah means dove. If you have a good old-fashioned Bible dictionary, you can look up the word Jonah, and it means dove. And we know that Jonah acted just like a dove. When God's word came to him, he flew off, didn't he? He ran off. And we also know, according to where we read this morning, that Jonah's father's name was Amittai, and they were from a place, and we're going to see this in 2 Kings, a place called Gath-Hepher, a small town about 2 miles northeast of Nazareth. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 says this: He restored the coasts of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plains, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. And so you find yourself a good Bible map, and you can find that Gath-Hepher was just about 2 miles to the southwest of Nazareth. And so we see now, after having just a little bit of background, that God approaches Jonah. Jonah hears from God. He hears God's plan for his life at this moment. He hears God's will for his life. Look at, again, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Again, Jonah is a prophet. He's a messenger of God. That is his job, is that when the word of God comes to Jonah, Jonah's to take that very message, that very word, to wherever God would lead him, and that's it. That's a pretty simple job. I love simple jobs. There's some jobs that I have to do that aren't so simple. But listen, to be obedient to God's word, really, that's a simple job. But we have to purpose to do just that, just as Jonah would have to do just that. So what was the word of God? What was the message? Jonah, I want you to go to a place called Nineveh, this great place. And when the Bible talks about great, it's not talking about, you know, like San Diego is a great place to live. Man, it's got great weather, plenty of activities to do. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a large city, if you will. This was a great city. Bible times, this was most likely probably the largest city at this time. We see here, or we will see, a population of about 120,000 people. You know, we could kind of take a picture of that and consider, you know, and compare it to maybe Chula Vista. As far as the population, Chula Vista is a great city. You know, Nineveh is a great city. And so we have some great parallels here that we can take from it as well. So the word of the Lord, again, and let me say this, the word of the Lord are pure words. They're perfect words. They are absolute truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God that comes to Jonah is the same word that comes to you and me today, and it's truth. It's pure. It's perfect. And so whatever the word of God is, whatever the message is to us individually, as long as it comes out of the word of God, we can take it as truth. And what was the truth that Jonah received from God? Well, that Nineveh was a great city. We look at it and we can, we'll see that later on in our series, but the borders of Nineveh was, they say, somewhere between 2 and 3 days' journey. Now, they didn't have cars back there. We're talking about possibly walking, possibly talking about, excuse me, taking a camel taxi or something like that. But we're talking about a vast area of about 120 population. And what was taking place in this city? Great wickedness. Things were going on contrary to the will of God. And so God had a message for Nineveh. And Jonah was going to be the messenger. I want you to go to that great city. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. I want you to preach in the city of Nineveh. I want you to declare my word. I want you to declare to them that they need to repent, that they need to turn from their ways and turn to my ways, thus saith the Lord. That was most likely the message that Jonah was given by God. This wickedness has come up before me. That's what God said. And so Jonah's job was simply to go to this place called Nineveh and to preach against wickedness. Preach repentance. But we see here that verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, again, Jonah could have been in Gath Hepher, where his hometown was. And so in order to go to Nineveh, wasn't much of a distance from there. Just about 2 miles from Galilee, right? But what we understand is where Nineveh was, Joppa, and Tarshish was in a complete opposite direction. So here's where God wants Jonah to go, and Jonah goes in the complete opposite direction from where God wants him to go. This is the direction that God wants us to go. But many times, we can be just like Jonah and discard it, disregard it. Again, God's words are perfect. They're pure. They're like silver tried in a furnace. And that's an illustration where that silver gets heated up and those items that are not pure float to the top, and they call that dross, and that dross gets scooped off the top, and they heat it again, and they heat it again, and what happens? All those impurities begin to come out of that silver, and that silver becomes more and more pure. It becomes more and more valuable, right? And so we have that perfect word of God. Jonah had this perfect word of God, and yet he disregarded it. He cast it aside as not being, I wouldn't say all that important, but what is it that Jonah is thinking when he runs from God? I mean, it says here again at the end of verse 3, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Can we really run from God? No. So what was it that Jonah was doing? I'll say it this way. Jonah, at this time, and we can be very guilty of it ourselves. Jonah, at this time, in pride, saw his way better than God's way. Why? Well, Jonah was thinking to himself, God, do you know the people that live in Nineveh? Do you know who they are? This Assyrian Empire? They're our enemy. And you want me to go and to preach repentance? Do you know what they really need? They need judgment. They need to be destroyed. Because if they're not destroyed, you know what might happen, God? They might destroy us. I'm one of your children. I am one of the Israelites. We are your children. I don't understand why you would have me to go to our enemies and preach repentance. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's what Jonah is basically saying. It doesn't make any sense, God. But God is holy, and he's righteous, and he's perfect. And he saw need for Jonah to go to a place, a great city called Nineveh, and preach repentance. But you know what? Jonah acted kind of like Abraham did when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah. He very well, we don't have this account here, but Jonah could have been saying something like, Lord, will you still give grace if 119,050 were unrighteous? Go preach. Go cry unto Nineveh, Jonah. Well, Lord, what if there were 119,000 and 960 unrighteous. Will you cast judgment on them then? Go cry under Nineveh, Jonah. But Lord, I don't think you understand. There are enemies. And what if there was 119,999? Say there was only one righteous person there, Lord. They're all, you see all the wickedness. Don't they deserve judgment? Jonah, go preach unto them repentance. And you know what? Jonah couldn't come to that point and say, okay, Lord, your will be done. He said, I can't do it, Lord. And he ran from the presence of God. You know what I thought about when I was studying for this message? And I truly believe that the Holy Spirit brought this to my mind. Because I was asking myself, he is a prophet. He is a messenger of God. I mean, he must have seen the power of God in his day. I mean, he must have seen some amazing miracles take place. Yeah. And that's probably why he ran. Because he saw some amazing things take place, and he really did not want to see these people of Nineveh come to repentance. And so he said, can't do it, Lord. Jonah had a personal relationship with God. And I know this because of his fear. You know, I think about my own life, and there's been some things that have taken place in my own life. And the reason why is because I have a personal relationship with the Lord. Back when I was about 30 years old, I came to that point in my life. You know, here's the thing that I want us to understand today. There's a lot of people today that claim to know God. But there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Amen. You know, I know some things about President Obama, but I don't know him. We don't have a personal relationship going on. He doesn't call me. I don't call him. I don't take personal trips to the White House because I know that, like some others that you've seen in the news here lately, I would probably find myself flat on my face in the grass with an M16 in the back of my neck. There's no role. Wait a minute. It's Joe Langley. Tell the president it's me. Who's that? Yeah, jack him up. You know, that would be the case. There's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't have that personal relationship with him. You know, before there can ever be revival in a church, before there can ever be a revival in your life, you have to secure. And listen, if you're a child of God, it's secured. Our salvation isn't based on works. Our salvation isn't based on obedience. Our relationship with God is based on Jesus Christ. If you've placed your faith and trust in him and who he is and what he's done on the cross of Calvary for you, if you've repented of your sins and you've called upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's what the very word of God says. It doesn't say that you have to be obedient unto the commandments, right? God does say, if you love me, keep my commandments. But that's not talking about losing your salvation. Once you have your salvation, you can't lose it. My children will always be my children, no matter what they do, because they've been born into my family. And you will always be a child of God if you have been born into the family of God. But that has to take place in your life on a personal basis. You have to have a personal relationship. You can't have a relationship with God based on your pastor's relationship. You can't have a relationship with God based on your parents' relationship with him. You can't be you can't have a personal relationship with God because your father was a preacher, or because you go to church, or because you tithe, or because you've been baptized. The only way that you can be a child of God is to be born into the family of God. And if there's going to be revival, that has to be first and foremost in your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. And that is to submit to His Word. And we're going to see, and I know that there wasn't a lot of verses that we looked at this morning, but we're just laying the foundation. Let me encourage you to be back here tonight so that we can really dive into the life of Jonah. But what I want you to understand this morning is Jonah had a place of revival in his life because he had a relationship with God. So let me ask you this morning, do you have a personal relationship with God? I'm not asking if you know things about Him. I'm not asking if you go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm not asking you if you tithe. I'm not asking if you go to Sunday school. I'm not asking you if you go door knocking on Saturdays or you go on church visitation on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights. I'm not asking you about any of those things. All those things are very, very important. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you look back at a time in your life when you saw yourself as God sees you, as a sinner? And I'm not even talking about asking God to forgive you over and over and over and over again because of your wrongdoing. I'm talking about making a personal commitment, making a personal decision to repent of your sin and call upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Lord means master. He wants to be the master of your life. And that's really hard to do at times because we are so used to from our physical birth, you know what? We're used to controlling our own lives. As just a little guy, if I wanted a cookie, I'd go to the cookie jar and I'd get me a cookie. But I had to be under authority of my mom and dad. And as I grew, I learned that I couldn't always have a cookie. I had to ask my mom and dad. You know, and we have to come to that point where we submit ourselves to the authority of God in our life. That's what repentance is, turning from our ways and turning to His ways. Giving the reins of our life over to God and saying, you can have my life, you can have my heart, you can have all of me, just tell me what you want me to do. That's what salvation is. Repenting, having faith in Christ, who He is, and accepting the penalty, accepting the gift of eternal life as He sacrificed there on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for mine. And so, you know, you can be honest with yourself this morning, the very first day of the revival, you need to make sure that you have a personal relationship with the Lord. And if you do, you know what you are? You're just like Jonah. You're a messenger. You are a servant of God. You are a child of God. And just as He had a plan for Jonah's life, He's got a plan for your life as well. You know what that life is? A life of obedience. A life of submission to Him. We have His Word. Jonah had His Word, but he decided to run from it, to flee in the opposite direction. Let me ask you this morning, what is your relationship with God and His Word? I mean, are you on a regular basis in it? Meaning, do you read the Bible on a daily basis? Are you sitting under the preaching of God's Word every time the church doors are open? Because let's just be truthful. If you're not here when the doors are open and the Bible is open, you're missing out on hearing from God. Amen. You know, if I only talk to my wife on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, our relationship would be a little strained. We have to have communication with God in order to have a strong relationship with Him. And if we're not opening His Word, if we're not sitting under the preaching of His Word, then we are a lot like Jonah in verse 3, fleeing from it, disregarding it, not seeing it as important as the Word of God is for each and every one of us. God's Word is powerful. God's Word changes lives. And if you want your life changed, you need to submit yourself to God's Word. So here's just the two questions this morning. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know that you have a personal relationship with Him? Are you 100% confident that if you were to die today, take that last breath, heart beats the last beat, and all of a sudden you're in eternity, where are you going to spend it? Do you have that 100% confidence? You should, because the Word of God says that you can have 100% confidence. It's not based on our conduct. It's not based on our actions. It's based on Christ. So if there's any doubt in your mind at all today, please get that settled before you leave this place. Let me encourage you. Listen, if you're somewhat unsure, get it settled today. It doesn't matter. If I talked to other individuals that have a little bit of doubt in their salvation, maybe it was a time in their childhood, maybe it was a time when they were running from God and they're not sure if they really made that right commitment. What's it going to hurt if you make the commitment today? If you were saved then or saved today, what difference does it make as long as you have 100% assurity? Right? And then let me ask you this morning, are you completely submitted to the Word of God? Do you hear from God on a regular basis and know, I'm going to do it? Because God's Word is perfect, it's pure, and it's best for my life. He's holy, He's righteous, He's got a plan for my life, and I just need to submit to it. Is that where you're at? Because if you're not, you need to be this morning. That's the beginning stages of revival, knowing that you're saved and coming to that place where you rededicate your life to be submitted to God's Word. Let's be there today. Let's be there right now. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You so much for today, the opportunity to be in Your house, to be in Your Word. And so, Father, You know each heart, each life here this morning. Lord, You know if there's one here that does not truly know You as Lord and Savior. They've been putting their faith in their good works. They've been putting their faith in the relationship that they have through their family. Whatever the case might be, Lord, if there's one here that just has that 5% doubt, Lord, I pray that today that they would get that settled and they would call upon You to be Lord and Savior of their life, of themselves. And Father, if there's some here today that, you know, if they're honest with themselves, they've been a little lethargic to being obedient to Your Word. They've been a little passive when it comes to reading Your Word and then really and truly applying it to their lives. Father, I pray that we might see the foundation being laid this morning for true revival in their hearts. And Father, I do pray that Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church would experience revival this week. Because if revival takes place here, as what took place in Jonah's life, it's amazing to see what one individual can do in a place. And then I think of Chula Vista. And no doubt, just like places all over this nation, all over the world, Chula Vista is no different than other places. Just like Nineveh, it's full of wickedness. And Father, as Jonah went and preached unto Nineveh, and there was a great revival, there were many, Father, that began to worship You and have a relationship with You. And so, Father, that could be the very case here in Chula Vista. and it would just take one heart getting right. And Father, I pray again that this church, that you would bless it, that you would use it in a great and mighty way for the furtherance of your gospel. Father, thank you for Pastor Wetzel and the faithfulness that he has shown here over the years. And just pray that you'll continue to bless him and bless his family. And Father, we just ask during this time of invitation that the Holy Spirit might have his perfect will and way, that you, Lord, would have your way in the hearts and lives of your people here this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, why don't we stand, and as Brother David begins to play and sing, the altar is open. And so let's not put off what can be taken care of right now. You know right now if the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. You know if you're saved. You know that you know if you're not really being submitted to the Lord like you should. And so just take this time right now and lay a firm foundation when it comes to true spiritual revival. And so altar is open. Invitation is started. And let the Lord have his perfect will and way in your heart and life today.
Number 496. 496.